This is Cross-Platform 4, November 17th, 2006, Episode 5. And welcome, you guys, to another episode of the Cross-Platform Show. I've got, again, four really great people in the gaming community and journalism area. Let's go ahead and let's first start off with our first guest. He was here last time, and so I thought let's go ahead and let's bring him back again. He's Rob Roberts from the Orange Lounge Radio podcast. You can visit him at orangelounge.com. How are you doing again, Rob?
It's actually orangeloungeradio.com, but thanks a lot for having me back. I appreciate it.
I'm notorious for doing this, so I think I'm going to screw up everybody once or twice. Except for these guys. I'm going to go ahead and go to our next person. That's Tom Fronczak. He is from the Destructoid.com blog. Thank you for coming, Tom.
Thanks for having me.
And then, of course, we also have from the unoob.com website, we have Nick Notice. How are you doing today?
I'm good, man.
Okay,
thanks
great.
For having.
Well, thank you. And, of course, we have from GamerAndy.com, the original Gamer Andy, Adam Levine. How are you doing today?
I am well. I am alive and ready to clap.
I was watching a while ago on the all of the other different blogs and everything that there was one thing that came up about a PlayStation Pornable. I believe it was on YouTube that it had a little video about from a Fox station talking about they were talking about how the PlayStation could be used to look at porn.
Yeah, they finally figured out it could get internet. Like, parents just figured this stuff out.
OMG. So
they're all up in arms, yeah.
Well, what about Palm Pilots, tablet PCs, iPod videos?
Classic rule of thumb, if it has a screen on it, people are going to figure out A, how to put Linux on it, and B, how to put porn on it.
So true.
But what do you guys think? Do you think that, you know, that the parents are still not getting it? Or do you think that... My biggest concern was that they were not that mainstream media still doesn't understand the industry and how big the
does
industry
Jack Thompson
is becoming.
Still go on TV? Like is he occasionally like spoken of on
just
TV?
Miami. No,
I mean, wasn't he on something recently? I mean, I think any time that Jack Thompson makes it anywhere considered mainstream, we can pretty much definitively say he hasn't gotten it yet.
Well, it's just the fact that, man, every decade, something's got to take the hit because people love fear. 70% of the news I took journalism is bad news, negative news. People love it. Whether, you know, in the 60s, in the 50s, it was rock music. In the 60s and 70s, it was comic books. And in the 90s, it was movies. And now it's just games. Like, it's the biggest thing to come out. And now everybody's going to talk about games are too violent and portable systems have porn.
Andy, I don't necessarily know if it's the mainstream media's fault either, because every time Jack shows up on one of those shows, it shows up on every blog site. So, you know, internet is partially to blame, I think, as well, for continuing to say his name.
So you would advocate the if we don't talk about him, then he'll just go away approach?
You got
yes,
one thing
no.
Really.
I think there's just like there's other things I'd rather talk about, other things I'd rather read about than Jack Thompson. Will he go away? No, because he has a passion for it. But will I have to read about him less? Hopefully.
See, but the question here is if by the gamers not talking about him, will that have any impact whatsoever on what the mainstream and what my mom knows about him?
You know? I think maybe if we work on putting a more positive image out there of gamers and some of these other, you know, positive stories that run on the gamer blogs, possibly.
I think
like
it's going to
Child's Play, the things of that nature.
I don't think they have an impact. I think what we actually just have to do is we have to wait until the old politicians die.
That's
you know?
Exactly my point.
I
agree.
It's too big right now. No matter what you do, if Jack Thompson died right now, it's too much into the media. It's too much into their heads right now. You just have to let things blow over. It's going to eventually blow over, and they'll move on to something else.
It's the biggest market in the world, so I'm not that afraid.
I don't want Jack Thompson to die. If Jack Thompson died, someone competent might take his place.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, but do you think how? So you don't think that there's any way that we can actually, like, get the bigger news like CNN and ABC and NBC to actually get an interest or show the positive side. I know that Nintendo, with the Wii console, that they're actually getting a lot more people, and the DS actually, getting a lot more of the older crowd into and understanding video games and actually enjoying them.
Yeah, I've seen the BBC News actually cares for once. Like, they're actually reporting a lot about the Wii, so Nintendo's doing the right thing.
The only thing you can do is you can't try to push it out in global because no one's going to listen. If everyone just does their part and tries to convince the people around them, then it'll happen. I mean, just do your part and convince the people that you know, like your parents, if they feel like that, convince them. If everybody does that to everyone they know, then it'll happen. But you can't just go on the news and say, oh, yeah, the system's great, because no one's going to listen.
You really think?
Well, in network news, you know, if it bleeds, it leads. Those type of positive stories are usually, you know, say for the end of the news, the last happy thought by the time most people have tuned out, sadly. That's just kind of the way media is in this country.
But not game media. We lead a far richer existence.
Pioneers.
Yes.
Well, speaking about game journalism, actually The Escapist actually had an article about game journalism. And how we as game journalists are becoming are starting to become a bigger and more interesting commodity. We're all pretty much just we're just getting started in the game journalism work. Do you think that you've learned a lot from the things that you've done, especially with podcasting and doing the blogs on your websites?
Absolutely. Just being involved in it. I mean, I don't know, like, listening to a lot more people than just a few people. I mean, 2 years ago, I used to just hit up EGM and IGN and lame sites like that. So if you listen to a lot more people, you get a lot more opinions, and it helps.
Frankly, I'm convinced that being involved in video game journalism is absolutely the best way to get into the industry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, because you meet so many people, and that is sadly such a better path to getting a job in video games than, you know, going to DeVry College and doing their you can make a 3D model program, you know,
yeah,
for
$40,000. Yeah, I completely agree with that. That's actually what my my degree is going to be in is game design. And in 1 year of blogging, I've already made like 15 times more contacts.
Yeah, absolutely.
That goes for a lot of industries, you know, entertainment, media in general. It's not about what you know, it's about who you know. You know, I studied a computer, I started studying computer design. I went over to a media arts in college, and a lot of my folks that I went to college with are not working in the industry because they didn't know people. That's just media in general. I'm not talking about game industry, but I see a lot of those same parallels certainly happen in the game industry. It's not necessarily about what you know, it's about, you know, who you know.
Personally, I think if you prove yourself, like a company of work experience looks better than 4 years of college. I mean, if you program for Epic for a year, doesn't matter if you didn't go to college. If you put out Gears of War, you go to any other company and said I worked for a year on Gears of War, you think anybody's going to turn you down?
No. No. Absolutely.
That's true of a lot of industries in general.
But I mean, it's unfortunate to see so many people try, because I mean, I think that for a lot of our readers and listeners, this is really a dream, not to do what we do, but to do what they do, you know, to go to work every day and get paid to be involved with video games. And I think it's that these game colleges are preying off of that hope and leading it along until you get to graduation day when, you know, that job placement turns out to be, congratulations, you're doing QA at, you know, like 4Kids Entertainment.
Good luck making $45,000 a year for the rest of your life.
Yeah, seriously, you know, and you've got that $40,000 loan to pay off. So, I mean, it's really sad, I think, to see it happen, but it's going to be more and more.
All right, well, another thing that I saw on The Escape is they were talking about, like, about game journalists are kind of like movie journalists or different other kinds of media journalism, and that, you know, we could be susceptible to like free gifts or being flown out for special things. And
you mean the new E3? Sorry.
Yeah, and they were talking about how that could become a problem. Like, you know, movies who have really crappy movie reviewers that give like the daddy daycare 2 thumbs up. Or something like that, and how
all those horror movies.
And so, do you think that that's something that we need to that because they say the PR is the people who just see us as a one-way street to getting more of the games sold out. Do you think that that's something that we have to worry about, or something that you have to worry about as we mature into this industry?
Yeah, I think it's something that we've always had to worry about, but I think the readers in particular are actually a lot more vocal than they used to be. Like, I know recently they finally got really angry about the EA games, like not just the microtransactions, but the fact that it was the same game each year. They're finally speaking up about that. So it's good to see that they're not just going to read the ratings and then go out to the store and buy whatever we say they should. I think it's getting better on both ends.
But Battlefield 2142 has so many problems they haven't fixed.
I think in this very saturated media where there's, you know, thousands of different gaming media outlets, I think the audience will call you out on it if it's seen that you're a little susceptible to that sort of, you know, buy-off or whatever you want to call it. I think the audience can be very judgmental and sometimes a little bit too much and might tune out and go elsewhere. It's very easy to go elsewhere in this day and age.
Ultimately, what we're looking at here is if a game company wants to put good reviews on their movie or run good reviews on like an ad, like most, you know, movies do, then all they have to do is go to a forum. I mean, we know from the movie industry that they're not above that. You see movies like Hostel or something that are like Bob from icky, you know, creepycrawler.com. You know, this is the best movie of the year. And they can put that because it's Bob from ickycreepycrawler.com. Who cares that it's from the forums and, you know, he hasn't seen the movie yet? It doesn't fucking matter. It's just press.
Well, and then also, I don't know. It just seems that, like you said, do you think our audience then is a little bit smarter than some of the other entertainment areas? Like, I mean, I know that some people we'll call out movie people about how much they suck. Do you think that we are, because we have a much more, maybe not smarter, but more loyal audience to...
I don't know if it's smart versus dumb, but it's passionate. I think we have a very passionate artist, or very passionate fandom behind games.
Also, the audience for gaming is much more arrogant, and not trying to put anyone down, but you notice you post something that they disagree with, yeah. On most sites, they'll tell you right out, you're an idiot. You know, they speak their minds a lot more than I think a lot of other people.
You are idiot! !!!
111. Yeah, if you're on Dig, you know that it's always the tech stories and the gaming columns that get read the most. And like, if you've ever posted on stuff like movies and stuff, it takes like 15 hours for it to even get a few comments and stuff. The people in the game, the gamers are definitely a lot more in tune to what's going on, and they've got those RSS feeds, so they're actually like driven to find out for themselves. And it seems like blogs are blowing up a lot now in the recent years, so IGN and GameSpot are, I don't think they're on the downfall, but I think that, yeah, it's a lot more opinionated in the last few years than it's been in the past.
Going back to what we were talking about, especially with how mainstream media doesn't really understand video games, and then also journalism and how we have all this all these different aspects of journalism, it kind of goes back to what everybody kind of fears or loves is the fanboy. Now, I know that there's a lot of Nintendo boys, and I know that there is a lot of with the Sony guys and the the Sony guys and the Microsoft. I mean, we know there's even video game podcasts just specializing in just one system. Do you think that maybe the fanboyism in our industry is changing or becoming problems with other people across? I know we've seen it in many different movies and cartoons and TV shows that it's becoming a joke of itself. Do you think that it's going to become a bigger problem with the industry?
I don't think there's necessarily anything wrong with one podcast that's focused on one system or for the fans of one particular thing. I mean, you know, look at, again, to make a comparison to the movie and TV world, there's plenty of podcasts out there dedicated to just one show or just one genre of show, like for, you know, science fiction or Harry Potter, whatever the, you know, case may be. Lots of very rabid fandoms behind that. So I don't think there's necessarily anything wrong with a focused show. It's just, you know, people know what they're going to get with that. You might be narrowing your audience a little more with that, maybe, but you might also be getting a much more passionate audience with that.
Yeah. No, well, no, I'm more in the sense of fanboyism. Is that a problem? Do you think in our industry?
Well, I think personally it's going to hurt some things, because the thing is, once people lose trust in a company, no matter what that company does, that, you know, the people don't listen. If Sony dropped their price and tried to put out good games, people would still bash Sony, and I think it isolates a lot of companies. I mean, Sony could probably put out the best games with the, and there'd still be people, no matter, even if they put out 50 hits, people would still be like, oh, you guys suck. And I think it isolates a lot of people from opening their eyes to a lot of good opportunity.
I again point over to movies and TVs. We may not call them fanboys, but they're still very passionate about whatever they're into. And, you know, I think when you make that comparison, they're kind of the rabid fans of whatever it is they're into, and possibly even music as well. You know, certainly rabid fans of whatever band they're into. You know, oh, Metallica rocks, and, you know, whatever sucks, you know, all that. So, you know, that kind of fanboyism can go with any form of entertainment, I think.
But do you think that's going to become a problem with the industry in the long run?
I think it creates a lot of extra stuff that we might have to wade through, you know, to get, you know, especially that it's so easy for anyone in this day and age to start a blog, to start a podcast, to start whatever they want to do.
Yeah.
It makes it a little harder to find the quality stuff. But, you know, I think folks that are usually doing just the, you know, rah-rah, want to get on there and just rant about whatever, usually find that, you know, it takes more time to put out a quality product and usually quit after two episodes, you know?
I don't know about you guys, but I've kind of gone through phases. Like, I can't say I don't like Nintendo anymore, but definitely, you know, as a child, I liked Nintendo a whole lot more than I do now. So I think that as gamers continue to get older, they'll just go through different phases. And, I mean, all three systems are always going to be open to them. I think it just... it usually comes down to these launches about which one do you want first, which one can you afford for Christmas first, and a year from now I don't see it being as a problem. I think it's just these launches that really escalate issues.
I agree. I think the hype's going to die down with everybody bashing each other. Give it next year, everybody's just going to be talking about the software. That's all that matters in the end, is the games. If Wii comes out with all terrible games, which I doubt they won't, and Sony comes out with all great games, you can guarantee next year that everybody's going to be talking about the PS3.
And we've seen Xbox come out of nowhere, and, like, granted they have an endless pocket to draw from, but to see that means that gamers are open to new things, so I think that's cool.
Well, have we discussed the arrogance of Sony yet? I mean, has that topic come up?
Oh, no, we could go ahead and talk about the arrogance of Sony.
I think that's a big reason for the change that we've seen, is that people are just tired of Sony being like, yes, you don't care about anything else because we have shiny, look over here. And it's just an empty box, you know? Then they're like, oh, just kidding, you're up. Sorry, guys, not this time.
Yeah, they're definitely their own worst enemies. They shouldn't be making these freaking promises all the time. I heard today 400,000 PS3 units for America dropped down to about 200,000, supposedly. Maybe 150,000. That's terrible.
Yep. Did you hear
the?
You hear the way that they're handling pre-order bundles at some retailers?
I don't even want to know.
Walmart, I don't know about, but I heard the CompUSA bundle is that apparently Sony is mandating that all PS3s have to. The only way that they're allowed to sell PS3s is if it goes out with a Sony 40 inches or larger.
What?
And
no,
that,
I didn't read that.
Yeah, that hit news about 4 hours ago, and yeah. So and that if the TV is returned, then the PS3 has to be returned unopened. Otherwise, they're in big trouble. Big trouble, wow. Mister.
I think Sony isn't as dumb as everyone thinks they are. I think a lot of this is just so that they get their name out. I mean, think about, with all the shortage of units, how many people are begging for this system and selling it. I mean, I think it goes both ways. I think that they did screw up, but I think they aren't as dumb as everyone thinks they are. I mean, they wouldn't be this company that they are if they didn't know what they were doing.
I think the biggest mistake they made was talking a little too much and having a few too many cooks in the pot. You look at Nintendo, and they have pretty much, I mean, granted, there's a lot of people in Nintendo that get quoted very often, but pretty much you have Reggie. You know, he's the man. He's the one that, you know, everybody kind of looks to. He's kind of the face of Nintendo right now. And pretty much he kept very quiet, and he kept a lot of things about the Wii very secret. And I think Nintendo kind of had the right idea, because there was a lot less disappointment when the actual news came out. I mean, granted, there was some, because the fanboys dreamt up whatever features they wanted. But, you know, for the most part, people feel a lot less let down with the Wii, PlayStation 3, because they kept their mouths shut and didn't make as many promises.
You know, I feel pretty much equally let down, honestly. I mean, has any you guys have gotten hands on with the Wii before, right? At some time or another.
Yep.
Yeah.
Right. So, I don't know. Considering what's inside, I feel insulted by the price. I mean, am I alone in that? You know, like, because essentially it's a souped up Wii, and I mean, people said that as a derogatory, as a bad thing, and nobody thought it was true, and then it actually is true, and it's just more expensive because it's in a new package and has this new great innovative control scheme, and I personally am a graphics whore, you know. I really am. I wish I wasn't, but I think it's going to really affect my perception of the entire console, because I know that the limitations are very much there.
I've kept this to myself, but I mean, I might get bashed for this, but does anyone else feel that, I mean, I could, and I want the Wii to be successful and all, but does anyone eventually feel that, you know, after 2 hours of gameplay, over and over and getting tired, it might just become more gimmicky than anything, and eventually everyone's going to go back to the controller that they've been with for 25 years. I think the Wii has to overcome the fact of being gimmick eventually.
Well, I think having the GameCube controllers on the system was a smart idea, because then they can go ahead and if any other developers want to go ahead and throw in the GameCube controller for their games, no problem. So then
you've just paid $250 for what is exactly a GameCube, using the GameCube controller
right.
on a console that now retails new for
$80. Well, here's the thing I think of it as. I think of it more as Nintendo knows that they can no longer keep up with the graphics, because they know, because Nintendo has never ever wants to lose money on the system, and we know that Microsoft and Sony are losing money with every system that's sold. So I think what Nintendo had to do was they were trying to do some different kind of things to make it more of an interest with a broader audience, and so they designed the idea of the controller just to get that audience, and they're hoping that with especially the success of the DS with the older audience, that they can go ahead and they can do the same thing with the Wii. And that's going to be the biggest question, I think, is will they be able to grab the different audiences that don't usually game and have them buy a Wii and play those games?
I think they will, but like we've talked about this a little bit at Destructoid before, the thing that we really fear, because like we're definitely for Nintendo Wii, but a lot of the times when we get bashed on by readers, is that we're really kind of afraid that 2, 3, 4 years down the line, like Nick said, the graphics aren't up to standard. If the games don't hold up for 4 years, it's really going to be a huge divide when PS3 starts kicking in full steam and we're stuck with the basic Wii graphics. If the game innovations don't keep up, it's burning in 4 years from now. Because the PS3 is supposed to be, what, 8 to 10 years before they consider a PS4?
I call foul on that, but whatever.
Well, again...
That's like saying, they said the same thing about the PS1. And, you know, technically, that's still happening. Because in Brazil and third world countries, yes, they're still playing the PS1. But, you know, I mean, realistically, for you and I, and even for, you know, I mean, for my mom, I mean, what, when does that get fun?
Two things is people, you know, with this whole Wii, they say, oh yeah, graphics doesn't matter. But have you seen people's eyes light up when they see Crysis? Like, honestly, when you look at Crysis, doesn't it make you want to play it so bad just by its looks? Maybe it's just me.
No, but, definitely.
You heard about the multiplayer modes? And man, 8-hour multiplayer modes of that thing, that's what makes me want to play it.
The only thing I'm pissed off about is, I mean, like you said, it's just an upgraded GameCube pretty much, and the graphics aren't up to par. Why are they charging $50 a game? I personally was surprised. I thought that game was going to be about
60, $39. Right?
On the Wii?
Yeah, most of them are first-party games are $50.
Yeah, like I said, the first parties.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Because I personally thought that at least the price point would have probably been like $39.99. Yeah. But to charge $50 for games that we've been playing for about 5 years, I mean, it's kind of tough to justify.
The nickel and pennying is just, you know, it's just starting. I mean, the console price isn't my issue. My issue is controllers and games, like you said. Because controllers, yeah, you can get one piece of it. You can get the Wiimote for 30, but most of the games that I will, you know, with groups are going to require the Wiimote and probably the Nunchuck, or the Wiimote and something else. You know, and at $60 a controller, you know, once you combine those two pieces together, then you're looking at the controller price essentially equaling the console price by the end of it, once you get up to four.
Right.
So, I mean, it seems like especially considering how small and how flimsy they are. That's the other thing, is that ultimately, like, when I look at Xbox 360 controller, you know, that has heft to it. I can, like, if I hit someone with this, they're going to get hurt. Like, I'll make them bleed. That's what I look for in a controller. And these Wiimotes, it's like, I don't know, I don't see the production quality there to justify the hefty price.
Following up on that, did you see the GameSpot videos where they said only after a few hours of playing, something like 2 out of their 5 Wiimote controllers broke?
Huh. Right.
How about the 6-axis? How about that? I mean, that doesn't even have rumble in it.
Yeah. No.
Well, I think holding the controller with both hands and tilting it is very stupid in my opinion, but I don't know. I think they should just stick with what they're used to.
If Warhawk was coming out at launch, I would buy a PlayStation 3 and keep it instead of buying a PlayStation 3 and trying to turn it on eBay. Because I think that, they did rip off Nintendo, but they did a good job of it. My main problem is that the controller is so light and feels exactly like the PlayStation 2 controller in that it's so light that I hate it. I was a big fan of the Duke with the Xbox, man. I loved the Duke. I stocked up on him.
I second that.
Thank you. Thank
I hate
you.
The S controller. Oh. Compared to the big one in your hands. Oh my God! Playing
a big fan
Halo
of the
on
360.
That.
Yeah, you know, just something about I like. It doesn't feel like a toy. Like, you know, this is something that I use to play my video games. And, you know, like I said, if I hit someone with it, they'll bleed. As opposed to the other controllers, which feel like, you know, I should be getting this at Toys R Us. You can buy video games at Toys R Us, but I don't do it.
Well, the other problem Nintendo has to worry about, which I was going to say earlier, is what about that control? You know, when they start releasing that for the PS3 and the Xbox 360, which is essentially a Wiimote, like, they lost their standpoint right there. I mean, it might not catch on, but that's a big hit to them.
Well, what are we talking about? I totally missed it.
I was saying earlier, you said about the Wiimote and, like, whether or not it justifies the new system.
Uh-huh.
I was saying that Fusion controller that company in England's making is pretty much a Wiimote that's going to work with all next-gen systems.
See, but you have to build the games around it. So, I mean, if the games come out for it, then yeah,
that's
cool.
What I'm saying.
You know, the thing that's tempting me about the Wiimote, the game that I want the most is that surgery game, man.
Like, Trauma Center?
Yeah, Trauma Center. A second opinion, that's what it is. Man, that game looks like so much fun. And it's just because it's got the whole, you know, you move your hand and the game reflects that motion exactly, as opposed to you move your hand in a preset direction and it triggers a movement on screen, which is essentially a motion-sensitive, you know, a motion-sensitive device emulating a button press.
Yeah.
What I want is innovation in such a way that we have to change the way we think about games in order to fully wrap our minds around what you can actually do with the Wii. And people just aren't doing that yet.
Andy, the Wii thing is still kind of a new thing because, you know, I think this whole thing reminds me of the DS. You know, the DS was what? It was a Nintendo 64 in your hand with a touchscreen is what the DS was. But man, after, you know, that slump, that first 6 months, we started getting, you know, the Tetris, the Metroid Prime, and now the Elite Beat Agents. Man, you're seeing so many great games on the DS. And I do think we're going to see a lot of that same stuff for the Wii. I have to say, overall, I think I kind of disagree kind of with the panel. I think the Wii is really going to hit the casual gamer in a way that the Xbox and the PlayStation 3 just don't get. I mean, sure, a person can look at a pretty game and appreciate the graphics, but sometimes there's a little bit for that non-gamer and amongst the casual gamer. I know there's a bit of that hesitation to really pick up the controller and it's like, ah, no, I'm going to get shot, or ah, no, I'm just going to screw it up. But you know what? That Wiimote and those the commercials and the videos you see make it just look so easy to just pick it up and just swing. Yep. And people are into that.
I mean, they're going to be having a commercial. This is probably going to run after we have this produced, but there's going to be a commercial during Dances with the Stars. I mean, they're going to be showing off to all the people. I mean, I was talking to my father about how to play the Wii Sports, and he actually thought that he would have actually a good chance of playing it and actually have an interest in the video game. So, I mean, I'm with you, Rob. I think it's just me and you all for the Wii.
No, I'm for it, just not in the long run.
I'm for all three systems. I consider myself a fanboy of all three companies. Even Sony, as much as it's hard to do right about now, I do consider myself a fanboy gaming in general. Otherwise, I wouldn't do this.
Talking about the simplicity of the Wii, though, did you see the reviews for the Splinter Cell and the Dragon Ball Z for the Wii? They say the controls are harder to pick up.
That's the thing right there, is that it depends on the games. And by the way, I was talking about all this from my standpoint, which is that of a hardcore gamer, you know, who... I'm going to follow the games is my bottom line here. And I think that while Ubisoft's, which is what we're talking about, Ubisoft is putting a lot of weight behind it, and I think EA is going to do that too. And I think that that's a good thing and a bad thing, because the real danger there is that they're just going to throw ports at it that have, like, you know, like with the Splinter Cell thing, the biggest complaint about that I've heard thus far is that it's the same game with remap controls, and that's such a dangerous thing for that console.
And then the Dragon Ball Z game, to shoot like a fireball, you have to press like B-A-A-Z and then move your controller up. Like a person that's just trying to pick up the system, they say it's much harder for them to pick that up than a regular controller.
Right. It needs to be intuitive.
I think in those cases, it's just a matter of trying to get those games in the houses that only have a Wii, because I think there will be, you know, certain types of family units and the more casual gamers, I think they'll have the Wii only, and I think this is to try and get those games in those houses. I don't think the casual gamer in general may be interested in some of those titles, you know. I mean, it depends. I guess it depends on what you're into.
You think they're just throwing us a bone? And by us, I mean the more hardcore types? Like with titles like Splinter Cell, you know, Dragon Ball Z, stuff like that. Do you think that they're targeted?
Well, I think it's just a maturity of these of people getting into the systems. I know I have a couple friends in the industry, and they're having a heck of a time trying to work with the Wii and try to figure out ways to play with the Wii. And luckily, with the new software that Nintendo has let people use to track your emotions, that might actually help out. But I think it's just that if they're going to be doing self-ports, that'll be probably the most detrimental thing for the Wii. But as long as we get people just like Atlus and other companies who are actually involved in trying to do different things with the Wii, such as they've done with the DS, and finally kind of get an understanding of what they could do, what the full potential of those things are, then I think we actually might see some interest in the Wii.
One of the things I'm looking forward to the most about the Wii is actually the downloads. I can't wait to get back to the NES and SNES games. I think that'll help a lot with the new gamers too, with getting into old stuff. But what do you guys think about with the PS3 versus Wii versus 360 internet?
On that virtual console, I'm actually kind of ticked off about that. They're charging, you know, $5 for Genesis games when you can go online right now and download the ROMs for free. I mean, the Genesis games to be like $1.50, $2, and then they just unveiled that it's going to be the same exact game that you played 10 years ago for $5 to $7.
Yeah, I agree. It's too expensive, but I didn't expect them to go any lower than that.
Yeah, I didn't expect it either. But it's nice that they're actually going to like bring back some of the really hard or rare games to be playing. Like, I know they're going to be doing Super Mario RPG, which is an awesome idea. Hopefully they'll get Chrono Trigger and some other really really hard-to-find games to get back on the system. Because I think that'll probably be the strongest thing for them, is if they can get those very difficult games to get and get them into the gamers, I think that'll probably win a lot of them over.
I'm not quite as excited about the virtual console as I was when I first heard the concept, and I think a lot of that is because Xbox 360's Live Arcade has kind of spoiled me in a lot of ways. I was hoping for, you know, some two-player on some of my old favorite games. I was hoping for, you know, some scoreboard, some leaderboard, something to sort of add a little new life to these games, but in the way that Xbox Live Arcade's been doing it. I mean, they've been taking some old stinky titles like Dig Dug and making them kind of fun and competitive again a little bit. You know, Time Pilot, I nobody played that one before, but now it's, you know, somewhat interesting for the retro crowd to be doing that co-op and some of the other things that's on there. For in my mind, Xbox is still the king of the internet and the live stuff, and I think Nintendo has some catching up to do. PlayStation 3, a little early to tell for me.
I take issue with ports. Like, this could just be me, but I really have a fundamental problem with the idea of having these games ported to newer consoles, maybe updated a tiny bit, maybe left absolutely broken, maybe released broken, fixed down the line. you know, and charged $5-$10 for it. I think that Xbox Live Arcade really has a lot of potential. And I think that all of these download services really have a lot of potential to give the indie scene a voice, you know? The titles that have come out by Ninja Bee and, you know, by the guys over at Newgrounds, I think that there's just so much promise there, and it's being absolutely spoiled and ruined by these glorified ports where Capcom's like, hey, well, we've got Street Fighter sitting around here. We haven't used this in a couple weeks. throw a little bit of port sauce on there, and let's throw it on the Barbie. I mean, it does not compute, you know? So much hype builds up around these old games, and then they come out, and everybody buys them. And then they're like, hey, wow, this game feels like it's 10 years old. And it is.
Well, the simple answer to that is just don't buy the games. I mean, that's the only reason why they're bringing them out, is they know that they can make money off of them. And like I said, I agree. I mean, Xbox, you're going to have to beat right now, because for them, they've been doing this the most of the time. And I know that they're going to be able to download your own TV shows and own your TV shows and download movies for rental on your Xbox 360. So they're just really kicking butt on the online version. But it's going to be a question. I know that the Wii is going to have support later on with the Kinect 24 that'll be able to, like, maybe download demos to your DS or maybe have even more channels other than Weathered in the News and later the web browser. So, I mean, that's going to be... I think Nintendo has a lot to set up. Unfortunately, I know that Nintendo's virtual console is going to be exactly the same as the games were when they were out on the system, so we're not going to be expecting any of the cool stuff that Xbox has been doing, like putting your quarters up for Street Fighter 2 or stuff like that. And I know that Sony's got a very long way, especially because they're just being brand new and they don't have any really big news. And because they're such a proprietary to just their own entertainment, it'll be really interesting to see how they can sign off with different movie people and different companies to get their stuff on there for demos and movies and other stuff like that.
You know, the repeat of the PlayStation 2 online fiasco thing with the PlayStation 3, which, you know, is not looking entirely like it's going to happen, but the lack of centralized service, which we're already seeing, right? I mean, that's essentially confirmed, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I think that's just a kick in the balls to gamers everywhere. It just screams, hey, we're Sony and we're totally out of touch. You know? I mean, it's like worse than Ken Kutaragi coming out and saying something stupid again.
If there's one thing you think they'd learn from Microsoft, it's to have solid online, and Xfire is just not going
to
do it.
Well, Xfire is an optional thing that companies will have to pay more to get in there. You're going to have to deal with your own proprietary thing. That's what we learned from Resistance. Was that Resistance friend, the hell are they called? The friends lists, the clan lists, all that stuff is all proprietary to the game. You know, I mean, I'm announcing this exclusively here. I've decided I'm going to make a console. It's going to be called the Gamer Andy Gaming System, and just for gamers. And I'm going to make three of them. And we have intentions of selling out on the first day. Best console ever, fastest sellout ever. Would you call that successful?
I'd rather have V-Flash.
Bring back the Phantom.
Okay, let me go ahead and let's do the final thing, and then we'll go ahead and we'll shut this off. I had a poll on my website that talks about, do you think there's going to be any incidents that's going to happen? Because we know that when in Japan, there were a couple of incidents with people when the PS3 came out, where there were not enough police people, and there was homeless people standing in line in front for the people who were rich, and the rich people just give them a little bit of money. My question for you guys is, how many incidences do you think is going to happen, and how much press is it going to get? Because I know that when there's something small on demand, there's going to be a lot of angry people who are going to be fighting each other for it.
I remember the big thing with the 360 was, and I think it was actually around Ohio where I lived at the time, was after someone came out of Best Buy with theirs, the one guy, instead of waiting in line all night, just sat in his car and followed the guy home and then held him up at his front door for it. So I can see stuff that crazy for the PS3, because it should be even worse. I'm kind of surprised they also haven't, no one's thought of the idea of hijacking one of the actual, like, shipment buses or the, you know, like, the, the big rigs that ships them across America. Like, if someone had knowledge, like you, Luke, like if you actually knew that kind of inside stories, I could see one guy just snapping and just taking all 30 on the bus and then selling them all on eBay and then getting caught.
You mean like did the black DSs? And,
yeah, exactly. Like yeah. That, yeah.
Oh, that little incident awesome. That happened in Europe?
Yeah.
Did you see that dig post in Japan where some guy
has 100 of them?
100 PS3s.
Yeah. And someone's selling theirs for $2 million almost. I don't think that's legit, but still.
Yo, how the hell did that guy get 100 PS3s?
Good question.
You know he's in the mafia.
He's Yakuza.
Oh, he must be part of the Yakuza.
Yeah,
I can see the PS3 becoming the new heroin. Like people on the side of the street with trench coats, like, yo, come on, man, just a 6X's one time.
I want to go on record as saying that I don't think that the demand for the PlayStation 3 is going to hold up on eBay. I really don't. People are saying that, you know, the average price is going to be $1,500, $2,000, and I just don't see it happening because every single person I know who has pre-ordered a PlayStation 3, and I've talked to about 40 or 50 of them, every single one was buying for eBay. Nobody wants the games. Nobody actually wants the PlayStation 3. You look at the Japan launch, 80,000 consoles sold, less than one game per console purchased. What does that tell you? That tells you that there's a lot of people speculating that this is going to be a huge hit because of the past. You know, and the reality is that people are not going to, you know, plop down $2,000 for this when there are just no games worth playing outside of Resistance, maybe.
I agree completely, though. Look at the eBay market right now. There's less consoles than a 360 was, and there's still plenty of pre-orders up on eBay. I think once the system actually comes out, it's going to get more flooded. I think the prices will actually drop. Because, I mean, the pre-orders right now, there's still plenty on eBay, and they're still going for $1,200
to $1,400.
I kind of hope that'll happen, because I want the profiteers, it would be nice for them to learn a little lesson, I think.
I wouldn't see any reason why on launch day, when there's more systems plus the pre-orders, I don't see a reason why they should shoot up that much.
How about the Wii? Do you think the Wii is going to have a lot of people going crazy for those?
We won't have a shortage problem at all. 4 million consoles, no way, no problem whatsoever. You'll be able to walk into Best Buy.
Getting a GameCube on launch day was cake. I think the Wii's going to be the same thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's the...
I mean, even if not, you're only going to, like, I waited at Toys R Us for 20 hours for the PS3, and even then, the people for the Wii started coming only, like, 3 hours before launch. So, I mean, you might have to wait 2-3 hours, but it's not going to be bad.
You waited 20 hours? Man, I waited, like, 3 hours for fourth in line at my GameStop.
Yeah, we're also in the freaking, like, most popular area in the world.
There you go.
Yeah, I'm in Pittsburgh. I'm pretty much screwed.
Yeah.
Well, I think there'll be a lot of Wii craziness maybe the first week because a lot of people want to get it on the launch day. But I think, you know, once those second shipments start hitting and that steady stream of it, I don't think it's going to be a problem at all.
Right.
70 consoles per store says to me no problem whatsoever. Like you said, cake. Walk into the Best Buy, pick it up.
If you check some of the Target listings, some of them were at 150 per store.
Really? Yeah, you know, it's just, I mean, it's not a bad thing either. I would like it if it didn't sell out on the first day. I mean, that's good for gamers. It means we don't have to go to eBay.
No, I'm always thinking about those mad Black Fridays, and then, I always think about that time when they had the laptops being sold and...
Yeah. With the fist fights and stuff?
Yeah.
You might see some of that for the PS3 if they don't control the lines, but, you know. I think that if you go on eBay on day one, on the day that the PS3 comes out, you should probably be able to find PlayStation 3s for $600 because there are people who will be so excited that they've gotten one and so hyped that there will be, you know, that they're going to make all this money that they'll put it on there for 99 cents with no reserve and it'll get bid up to maybe $500 and people just won't notice it. You know, and that happened with the 360 too. And there's so much less demand for the PS3 on eBay right now than there was. So, I mean, if you want a PlayStation 360s, 3, check that.
360s and the PS3.
Well, we're going to go ahead and I'll put this in the show and we'll see what happens when that releases this next week. So, the gamer Andy announces that he thinks that the system will be not going for any $600. So, watch your local Joystick or Kotaku for. To see if he's been proven wrong or not.
Yes.
Destructoid.
Or Destructoid. Yes. One of my other favorite vlogs.
Or Unoob.
There you go.
Or maybe Orange Lounge Radio.
We don't really blog, we just complain a lot.
I mean, we're journalists. It's what we do.
Exactly.
I think complaining is what's the, is the big difference between fanboys and journalists. You know, is journalists are very positive and fanboy. Journalists in general are negative and down on the industry. And when they do something wrong, we try to call them on it. Whereas fanboys are like, yeah, this is awesome. This is awesome. Oh, that thing over there, that's not that bad. Don't worry. The graphics will. The gameplay makes up for it.
They promised.
Yeah.
Yeah, Gamer Andy, don't let those Blue Dragon trailers fool you. The game will be great. Don't worry about it.
Hey, if they've been sold in Japan, I've got questions.
Well, yeah.
That's the only thing is, like, if you can get the Xbox 360 to sell out with one game, then something must be going up.
Well, yeah, but I could throw all sorts of conspiracy theories at you. I don't know.
Okay.
All
right. All right, so that guess that's going to be another episode of Cross-Platform. I want to go ahead and thank my guests, of course, from the Orange Lounge Radio Podcast. We have Rob Roberts. Thank you so much for coming and giving us some words of knowledge.
Thanks so much for having me back. I appreciate it, Luke.
Well, thank you. Then, of course, we have from Destructoid, of course, Tom Fronczak. You can visit his site at destructoid.com.
Yep. Thanks for having me again, Luke.
Well, thank you. And then, of course, we have from the Gamer Andy Podcast, we have Adam Levine, thank you so much for coming on.
Not just a site, also a podcast. Yeah.
And what was that's gonna be a great, you have a couple of news people, so actually you can go there and get some more information, just not the podcast too. So, and of course you also have a live shows every Thursday right before my show. So, and of course we have from unoob.com, we have Nick Notice. Thank you for coming on the show, Nick.
Thanks, Luke baby.
All right, that's going to be it for another show. So you guys, thank you for coming on, and thank you guys for listening to the show. So until then, we'll go ahead and we'll let... Should I hit this endings?
You've been listening to Cross Platform. Tune in again, this time next week, for more crunchy video game entertainment.
Here, Luke stumble on over his own words.
As his guests, make fun of him over and over and over again.
All right, that's enough. Okay, and then we'll end it with that. Well, that's going to be it for Cross Platform. We want to thank you guys for listening. Of course, if you guys ever want to put any questions, comments, or even take links to our guests, you can go to www.gameathotline.com. That's also the site where you can also listen to past shows of Cross Platform. We'd also like to thank Null Sleep for letting us use his music for the show. So let's go ahead, and that'll be it for this week. You guys go ahead and turn your video games back up, and we'll come back here again with another episode of Cross Platform in the next few weeks. So until then, guys, you guys have a great week. See ya. Remember, the opinions expressed on Cross Platform are the opinions of the person and not of their companies or affiliates. Game Act Hotline, copyright 2006.